Hello and welcome to Voices of BlueScope, the podcast where we meet the people who work behind the scenes of BlueScope to create strength every day. I'm your host, Martin Feld. Thank you for listening. Across the global company, numerous employees participate in diversity committees and networks that offer informational resources and events. In this episode, we'll be exploring one such example of this in Aotearoa, New Zealand. I'm pleased to welcome Mark Weaver, Katie Jones, Ben Williams and Michaela Keir, who are all members of the diversity network at New Zealand Steel called Identity. So thank you very much, all four of you, for joining us. It's great to have you on, Mark, Katie, Ben and Michaela. To get the ball rolling, I think it would be great to have an introduction from each of you, who you are and what you do at the company, and we'll do it in alphabetical order. So can I get you to start, Ben, and then we'll go to Katie, Mark and then Michaela.
Kia ora. Thank you, Martin. Ben Williams, previously steelmaking operations superintendent. Next week, moving to paint line operations superintendent at New Zealand Steel Glenbrook in New Zealand. Been part of the committee for probably 3 to 4 years now and just enjoying living the identity life, I guess, through the plants.
Katie Jones, I am with SteelServe. I've been there since September last year, so just on a year, and I am an operator.
I'm Mark Weaver, I'm the General Manager of SteelServe. I've been with New Zealand Steel now and BlueScope since 2008 and worked my way through most of the primary plants leadership positions here at New Zealand Steel, and I now head up the transport division, which looks after the whole mill and everything that moves on the site.
And I'm Michaela Keir. I'm a production engineer in the Slabcaster. I've been on the diversity committee for about 3 years now, and I've chaired it for the last year.
Perfect. Thank you very much to each of you for those introductions. Just flowing on from what you were just saying then, Michaela, since you discussed that you are the chair, do you think you could tell the listeners, first of all, what the identity committee and network is and what it was set up to do? What are some of the things that it does in New Zealand?
The Diversity and Inclusion Committee, or Identity as it's known, is a committee made up of volunteers around site who are enthusiastic about improving the diversity and inclusion and making sure everyone feels involved at work. And it's currently made up of a wide range of people. So we have operators, we have production engineers, we have graduates, we have, you know, superintendent level all the way up to manager and VP level. So we try to cover we try to have a very diverse committee so that we can have a diversity of thought and we can kind of approach as many topics as we can across site. Mark would be the best person to talk to about the inception of the committee, as he was there during the inception. Mark, do you want to speak on that?
So the diversity committee was essentially put together to drive a set of results for the organisation in terms of improving the diversity across the whole organisation. So to do that, we had a mixed group of people who basically came together on a regular basis and saw where the deficiencies were in how we could communicate the benefits of diversity and address those issues directly with the workforce and be able to actually get the feedback essentially as a voice of the people about what needed to be done to improve the position towards diversity and the level of understanding in the workforce about what it meant.
So when it comes to the words diversity and inclusion, I think it's important to define this early because increasingly we hear these two words discussed together, but they don't actually mean the same thing. What can one of you say to the point of their equal importance, or does one come before the other?
Ben, do you want to speak on that one?
I guess for me, on a personal, slight personal edge to it initially, the inclusion bit for me really hits home. And I guess for part of the makeup of the committee, I guess being all the way up from an operator level right through to our vice president, manager levels on the upper echelons of the business, that really shows an inclusive environment, that we've not only got managers showing what we do, but we're also taking into account actions and going forward with the operator levels. And diversity, again, is being used very often in terms of male-female, but there's so much more to it than that, especially in the local New Zealand community of ethnicity. Obviously, male-female is a part of it, but also, I guess, wider than that, obviously, diversity of thought as well. that just to really think outside the box to a heavy industry that has been, you could say, a bit one-dimensional historically, male-dominated. Is probably well known as being pretty well male dominated, but this group looking to break down those barriers to make it inclusive for all.
I'd also like to expand on that. For me, diversity is about having a diverse makeup of people, and inclusion is about making sure everyone can do the job. Diversity comes down to the hiring and making sure you're getting the right people on site, and inclusion is making sure you're keeping them, making them feel like they're part of the team and making sure that everyone can do the same job, no matter, you know, who they are. And that's something, you know, the HR department does a lot when it comes to the diversity side of things. And for us, we try to do a lot more on the inclusion side of things and making sure that the diverse people that we are hiring do feel included and can be included.
It's about making sure that those people that you've brought to the party have a voice in the way that we do things. And I think that's a really important part about inclusive behaviour. It's about making sure everybody's got, who you've brought and you've got in the room or you've got in the business, has a voice to say how things should be happening and what should be happening within the organisation. So, you know, if you've got a problem, it's about the inclusive part of that. It's about bringing the right people into the room and making sure that you've got that diversity of thought and you're getting that maximum benefit from that in the way you're thinking about a problem. If you put 20 engineers in the room, you'll have 20 engineers giving you roughly the same answer. If you put a diverse group of people in the room who've all got an ability to contribute in the room, you're going to come out with some very different ideas. And I think over the last few years, we've seen some very good examples of how that works out for our business.
That's a great definition. Thank you. Thanks to each of you for really spelling that out for us. I'd also like to hear just briefly from Katie, because I think Ben, Michaela, Mark, you discussed some of the committee there and how you joined. Katie, what was the motivation for you to join the committee?
I think it is, I guess, about understanding that even somebody at the bottom of the ladder can actually see things differently. And I've always really liked Mark's take on the whole diversity and inclusion and how not only is it about trying to make sure that every segment of the community is represented in our business, it's also about actually recognising that we all come from really different viewpoints, and by getting a diverse group in together, the solutions that you can come up with, you can lift people up because they feel like they can contribute, like they're valued within the business. This makes them more productive, both in work and out in the community. It gets ideas, like Mark said, that that become solutions. It's not always that one person can go, ta-da, there's a solution, but it's one thing that one person who has a different view brings into that party that sparks a thought from someone else, and all of a sudden you've got what is the big picture and you come up with amazing ideas.
Yeah, and that links really well to what Ben said just before about diversity of thought.
Exactly.
Building on that, because it is more than just gender balance, obviously, although that's a very, very important issue across, you know, the global business at BlueScope and for many other companies. I was really impressed to look through some of the materials before joining you for this call, just how many different things you actually seem to do in this committee and this broader network. You've got a calendar of events, you've got newsletters, you've got resources. There's so much different stuff going on. What can you tell me about running a calendar like this and maybe some of the examples of things that you've done to communicate the importance of diversity and inclusion and include people across the company there?
So we've tried to set a clear calendar so that people can know what to expect from us and kind of when to expect it. The thing that we've found that's helpful is to put it into quarters. So we have four specific quarters that we run. The first being LGBTQI and allies. The second is the gender balance. Third is life ages and stages. And the fourth one is the cultural diversity quarter. And so we find that those four kind of groups and quarters tend to cover a lot of the different aspects of diversity and inclusion that we can feel like we can have an impact in. Of course, we do get your annual days, like international days that come up that might not align with the quarter, but we still try to celebrate that. For example, this week is Māori Language Week, Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. While we are actually in the life ages and stages quarter, we thought that this week was really important to celebrate. So we've put a lot of focus onto that to try and get across, you know, to get across all the important issues that we think there are in the calendar.
I think some of our listeners would be very interested to hear a bit more about Maori Language Week, because it is obviously specific to New Zealand. Can you explain a bit more, maybe turning to you, Ben, could you explain to us what Maori Language Week is and why it's so significant to New Zealand? Maybe give us some insights into the culture there.
It's recognising the history behind that in terms of New Zealand and the history behind, I guess, Maori and potential colonisation going forward. But I guess it just really is a lot of, and for me it's been a big learning curve of not being originally New Zealander either, of coming from Europe and the UK, of how much actually deepness behind the Maori language there is. Talking to an external party around wellness and leadership, and just one word and how deep it can intertwine. But also for us, it's been really good to link with the local community, our local iwi by our site at Glenbrook. And we've had a lot of ongoing stuff with them over the years around the land and how we use it, that it's been good to involve them and actually impart some of their cultural knowledge onto the site. So we've had Picky Jakeman, who's a local iwi leader, has done a lot of great resources for us to share. So, and it's a massive learning curve and a lot of learning, especially for me, and trying to use te reo in a kind of day-to-day manner.
I also read that there's a specific course that gives insights into the Maori worldview. I'm probably mispronouncing it, so I apologise, but I'll give it a go because I like to. He Papa Te Kanga, if that's correct. What can you maybe tell me about that? What sort of things do people learn when they engage with this course?
Yeah, that's you said you did awesome. That is He Papa Te Kanga, which is a course that's run by the Te Wānanga o Aotearoa, which is a New Zealand university. It's one of the many, many, many courses that there are in New Zealand to improve your te reo, but this one's also highly involved in the Māori way of life. So tikanga is like, the way of life. So it's around your morals and the way things are done, the way you respect your elders and all that kind of thing. And that's a free course that is run here in New Zealand, and it's one that a lot of our employees have done. I myself have done it. I know Ben signed up, and I know Mark's been doing it. So, and Katie too. So yeah, so it's a lot of people on site have been really involved in He Papa Te Kanga, which has been so, so helpful just to learn the history and the way of life. And there's a lot of te reo language in there as well to learn.
That's really fantastic. It's great to hear that all four of you have done that. And I'm sure, as you said, many other employees across New Zealand have as well. One more question about the engagement with Maori communities in New Zealand. I also read that there has been a commitment to restore different community or culturally significant buildings. What can you tell me about that?
We actually had a working group from the mill. We put together a group of people from the mill who went out to one of the local marais of our Ngāti Tiata group. And actually, we re-roofed the building, and then we spent a lot of time just reworking the grounds and doing a lot of groundsman work. And since then, Fulton Hogan came in as well and put some new roading in, and we put a new car park in for the marae, and basically just spent a day there with the local tribe and did some really good work.
What I like about that, and it reminds me of other podcast episodes that we've had in the archive for listeners who might have been familiar, there's this great trend throughout different parts of the business across BlueScope globally of really using products in a very tangible way to benefit communities. Because when we talk about BlueScope as a company, we talk about the fact that our communities are our homes. So listeners might remember that in episodes about ASEAN or Thailand, very similar things were done. So it's great to hear that you and New Zealand are doing very similar things of using local products to benefit local people and communities. I really like that. I'd also like to know a little bit more about this fantastic award nomination that you've received for the diversity works. Obviously, you're all doing great work over there and you've received some acknowledgement for it. Can you tell us about this nomination?
Diversity Works is the governing diversity group in New Zealand that offer workshops and encouragement, and they're kind of a group that companies can go to who want to work on their diversity. We've done a lot of work with them in the past, and they have annual awards. And we've gone to their awards a few times, and last year we went and we kind of thought, we've actually done a lot of the stuff that people were getting awards for, so I think it's time that we took stock of all of the great work we've done and put forward a nomination. And that's exactly what we did this year. So we put forward a nomination. So we were chosen as a finalist, which was so awesome. Unfortunately, the awards that were meant to be held on the 1st of September were postponed due to our COVID restrictions that we've got going on here at the moment. But this has been rescheduled to later on in the month in a virtual way. So we're really excited to see what the outcome is for that.
And I guess to add to that, Martin, the exercise of putting the nomination of ourselves together, I think as a group, and I think seeing it all put together really shows the amount of work that this group does. As Michaela mentioned, in a voluntary effort over and above our normal day-to-day roles. And I think it just shows how much we do and where we've come over the last couple of years in terms of changing from that awareness piece to actually some quite hard-hitting events. I guess one recently was our Women in Industry Forum that really branched to a wide-ranging topics, and actually a lot of people probably still potentially talking about it around what they took away from it. So it's just really good to celebrate what the group's done and still doing ongoing.
I think one of the things that I'd like to jump in, it's a little bit sideways, is just actually that the Diversity Inclusion Committee, to me, just, I guess, looking from down at the bottom, and I'm only a recent sort of addition, is that the work in itself that they do is diverse. It is really inclusive of a lot of different aspects of what makes up a diverse and inclusive community, and that everything is done not in a throw a little bit here, a little bit there, like a paint splatter, but every single topic that they take on and commit to is done with passion, enthusiasm, and attention to detail. And so what Ben was saying there, where he was saying there was a real focus there, I think it's a real testament that it does show up in the work that they've done.
Thank you, Katie.
It's important that we recognise, you know, from there's different perspectives. We all come from a different perspective, so we're all at different levels in the organisation. So we view diversity and inclusion subtly differently at the different levels of the organisation. But I think what's really important here is for Katie to see the impact of what the committee does across the organisation and how that then is interpreted by our workforce. I think is a really important thing to pick up on, and just maybe we need to explore that a little bit, I think.
Yes, and you've just reminded me as well that you also have inclusive leadership training, because you make a great point. It's across the workforce, whether someone's new or been in the company for years, no matter where they are in the hierarchy. What is the importance of doing something like inclusive leadership training, and what has that involved for all of you at the committee there?
I guess one of the big parts is around diversity or different backgrounds has been the unconscious bias training. So just learning around the how the brain works and what it can lead you to think to in some circumstances that opens your mind to how decisions are made. In a snap of a finger, some of our pretty implicit decisions have to be made in seconds time, I guess, especially for the operators on the floor and supervisors on the coal front. That's some of that there, but also I guess it's kind of tying back to the bond, I think, is really just that the bare bones of it is the our people are our strength, and our communities, what we do with them is a big part of what we do as a business.
It's also the behaviours training. We put a program of work together across the whole organisation, from leaders down to the shop floor, about, well, what can we expect and what do we expect from people in the way that they behave in the workforce these days? You know, what's acceptable, what isn't acceptable, what do we expect from most people every day? And how can people expect to be treated in our organisation, and making sure that that's the same for all levels of the organisation. You don't expect it to be any different. The way I speak to people is the same way I expect people to speak to me. I don't expect to be shouted at. I don't expect people to expect me to be shouting at them. That we can have reasonable conversations about most topics at all times, and making sure that we've got that consistency of behaviour across the entire organisation. And that was a programme of work. It took a lot of time. And it was led between the leaders in the organisation and our people team, and making sure that we deployed that across the whole organisation. And I think that's made a big imprint into our staff understanding, well, I can talk in this way when I'm in the workplace. I might not have talked that way 10 years ago, but times have moved on and I need to behave differently. And I think we're seeing the real benefits to that now as we go through time.
I love what you both said there about unconscious bias and consistency, because So many things would occur every day. Even people who really believe, I think, to their core that diversity and inclusion are very important might end up doing things that they don't necessarily intend or foresee due to years of acculturation or learned behavior, as you say. So it's really important, I think, to make people think about not only diversity of thought, but how their own thinking affects their decision-making or interaction with other people. Thank you for that.
There's probably just one thing, actually.
Yes.
One of the things that in every single job description that is sent out for new recruitment is that New Zealand Steel embraces diversity and inclusion. And it is right at the forefront, like I say, before anyone engages with this business as a staff member, that it's known as one of the values. It's important to this company, and people are told that that is part of our core values before they even apply for a job.
That's absolutely true. And actually, the interview questions that we use now have been evolved. Previously, where they were very focused on safety, they actually now include questions on diversity and inclusion and how the people feel about diversity and inclusion in the workplace. And it's such a strange question to ask in a job interview. I've done a few with Ben, actually, because we work in a similar department. And some people are really taken back when you ask them this question in their job interview. And some of the responses you get are really interesting. So it shows that the company is really putting it at the forefront if they're even asking that question of a potential employee to see how they feel and, you know, if they're on board with the diversity and inclusion journey.
And it's great to bring it up, isn't it? Because I suppose if they haven't thought about it before, you're signalling to them as they join that this is something they need to be actively thinking about.
Absolutely.
Well, what I'd like to do as we wrap up the episode, and we can do it in reverse alphabetical order this time, I'll test my alphabetical skills, starting with Michaela and then in reverse, I'd like to hear from each of you what maybe one of the greatest lessons you've had from working with this committee has been, maybe a particular event, a publication, someone you met, could be anything, even a conversation. What's something that you've taken with you through your work on the committee that's made you think differently about diversity and inclusion?
I think for me, the feedback is really important because we do a lot of work, and sometimes we feel like we're only scratching the surface and we're only kind of just, you know, doing a little bit. But when you get that feedback from someone to say, hey, thank you so much for the Women in Industry Forum, I found that so helpful, and it's really cool to see that the company is putting an emphasis on this and helping support women in industry, that feedback is, it's kind of what keeps you going, and it makes you feel like you are having an impact in the things you're doing. So that, for me, that feedback from people is the best thing.
Great answer. Mark?
My biggest learning, I think, is understanding the power that can be harnessed from having different thought processes in a room. We've achieved a lot in a very short time in the last few years. And I think some of the major outcomes for the organisation post the first COVID outbreak last year, when we needed to look at how we restructured the organisation and the change in our product base and what we needed to do to be able to meet some of the markets that we needed to supply. I think having that a very diverse group in the room who felt included actually brought about some significant opportunities for change that we wouldn't ordinarily have had. And I think if you look back through time, certain things have been tried in the past that haven't worked out too well. And just by having a different way of thinking about a problem and having a different group of people who felt they can contribute actually drives a really, really positive result for the organization.
Perfect. Thank you, Mark. You, Katie?
I guess for me, I have always been someone who likes to see everyone given the chance to be included. When I have spoken with anyone in a position to hear an idea or a thought that I've had, I felt like I've been heard. That has made me, when I come to work, I'm that person who literally skips smiling at everyone. You might not see it at the moment because of my mask, but people comment, oh, why do you look so happy as you come to work? Well, that's why. And so every day when I come to work, I'm coming with an incredibly positive attitude, an attitude because I feel good about the way I'm treated at work, because I know that while not all my ideas are amazing, Mark, that actually he hears them and others do also. And yeah, like I say, I feel good. I'm going to do my best for this company because they make me feel good. And I guess that would be the same for others. And I hope that translates to a more profitable and productive company. Everybody wins.
Fantastic. Don't stop skipping and smiling. That sounds great, even with the mask on, I think.
I don't.
Very good. Very good. And finally, you, Ben, what would you say?
Yeah, I'd probably just kind of add on to some of Michaela's points. I guess the feedback and or the feedback of the events we've run in the last few years, but also the ability of a small group, I guess, in terms of the group itself, the power it can have to make some of the forums we've had, and kind of reflecting on a couple of those of, again, that the unconscious bias kicks in of the people you think are going to talk at these, but what was really quite eye-opening of people you don't normally expect to speak up at events like those did. And I think it was quite fulfilling to give them that opportunity and that forum to speak up, be open, and discuss some of our issues as a business, but also share their learnings as well. And that was from anywhere that they'd been with the business for a few years, all the way up to 20, 30 plus years, a lot of those stories or journeys came from. And that's just been just living and breathing, I guess, the bond of the business of this group brings a lot of that to the surface to live day to day. But also it's kind of the breadth of what we get across. Diversity, inclusion just doesn't quite cover it. There's a whole lot more that we do as well in terms of engagement, etc. So our wings are kind of out there and flapping, and we're off and we're soaring, I guess, as a bit of an analogy. And I guess as well the learnings of kind of making sure that we bite off enough that we can chew, I guess, as this group has been pretty well taxed at that. But also if there's a bit too much to chew, we actually can pivot quite well and call in resources pretty well. And that's probably, again, an openness of the group to go, I'm struggling, need help, or on the vice versa, everyone is willing to chip in. So it's just, it's amazing that within this business of the group we've got and potential leaders going into the future for the business, it bodes well.
Thank you very much for that, Ben. And it sounds like you are soaring. I think you can say that pretty safely. You're doing a great job, all of you. So I want to say thank you to all four of you for joining us for the Voices of BlueScope podcast episode today in what is a very appropriate time, Maori Language Week. It's been great to record with you during this week. Obviously, if people want to learn more about the diversity committee there, we'll include some different information in the links and show notes attached to this episode. You'll be able to learn more and more different things about the great work that this committee does. So thanks to all four of you for joining. It's been great to chat.
Thank you so much, Martin.
Thank you.
Thanks, Martin.
Thanks.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us for another episode of Voices of BlueScope. We hope to have you again soon.